46th President of the United States, Oprah Winfrey? We'll talk about it on this episode of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into Korea.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza, and joining me from the western edge of the eastern time zone is Sarah Cowgill. Sarah, hello.
Hello from the western edge in a flyover state.
And President Oprah is the name of our podcast. I think it's a great movement. I look forward to seeing Ms. Winfrey swear in the oath of the Oval Office after Trump's 7 more years in power. So this was, if you hadn't seen the Golden Globes, Oprah Winfrey made a speech commensurate with her awarding, with the Hollywood Foreign Press awarding her the Cecil B. DeMille Award, which was, we're going to get into that a little bit more, but after she made the speech, all the sort of left-wing morning news, MSNBC, Morning Joe types were all a-Twitter with her, will Oprah be running for president? Sarah, what do you think of the nascent Oprah candidacy for presidency of the United States of America?
The liberals are grasping at anything. That's what I think. I mean, frankly, I don't think she didn't really make a presidential speech. She just kind of rambled around about Sidney Poitier and the alleged rape, which probably did happen, I'll give her that, but was never a convicted crime. It happened 74 years ago. And then something about Me Too. I thought it was lame.
Yeah, she talked about this woman, this poor black woman from Alabama who apparently had just recently passed away at the almost 100 years of age, who was basically, if we believe Oprah, and certainly have no reason not to, the victim of a gang rape by a bunch of white men in Alabama, when a black woman who was raped by white men in Alabama had little to no recourse. And the thing that was, I think, offensive or just perplexing is how Oprah is able to successfully, in her own mind, in the minds of certainly many liberal white women especially, place herself and themselves, who may have had an off-putting comment, in the same basket as a woman who was gang raped on the side of the road without legal recourse. That's something that is sort of the Me Too, you get an off-putting remark on Facebook profile, and now all of a sudden you are the same heroic victim as this other woman. And I don't quite get that.
There are levels of severity that that don't measure up here. Sorry, somebody looked at you funny when you were walking down the street. There are levels of severity, and I think what we all need to remember is that Oprah is complicit in the abuse of all these women over all of these years. With her friendships with the moguls, like the Harvey Weinsteins.
Well, not only that, but Oprah was an out-and-out booster of Bill Clinton. She supported Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, with any sober reading of the facts, is an accessory after the fact to the rape of Juanita Broderick. Not an accessory to a guy who put his hand on a girl's bottom at a cocktail party, at a Christmas party, at a fancy restaurant from the law firm, which, while certainly inappropriate, I think we can all agree, maybe shouldn't be a hanging offense. But Bill Clinton, clearly, the evidence shows, and it hasn't been discredited in any meaningful way, forcibly raped Juanita Broderick, and Hillary Clinton was part of the enforcement wing of Team Clinton that where she menaced Juanita Broderick, which, by the way, is Juanita's truth. Oprah went on about everybody respecting their own truth, as if there's you know, somehow room for dispute on some of these more fundamental questions. And I don't think there is in the Juanita Broderick case. I don't think there's, you know, either she's a liar and delusional, or Bill Clinton's a rapist. I don't think there's a middle ground there. And for Oprah,
there is no middle ground.
So what are we left with, you know, the other thing too, I want this speech, and I encourage everybody to take a listen to it. The idea that I think it's a great thing that people are going this far sort of to the moon with it. And the reason why is because if you actually listen to the speech carefully, it's full of kind of mistakes that Trump might make in a speech of his, that we would see all sorts of celebrities and news people say, this is not accurate and this is not accurate, and the mistakes that she made. So for instance, she actually complained that the men who allegedly, and I don't need to laugh about this part, but that allegedly raped that woman were not persecuted, and she used the word persecuted, not prosecuted. And, you know, if Donald right. Trump makes a word flub like that, he's excoriated for it. But of course, this is just to point out how everything gets smoothed over when the sort of narrative-driven legacy media are in charge of wheeling the story. The other thing
exactly.
that she talked about, how Rosa Parks apparently was working at the NAACP at the time that this woman was victimized, and she went to the NAACP, and Rosa Parks was aiding her and sort of learning about it. Anyway, it was funny because Oprah actually repeated the often told, and I don't know if it's not the right word to use the word lie for this, but the sort of mistaken belief that Rosa Parks just decided to act on her own in starting the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott. Rosa Parks didn't decide to keep her seat one day. She was part of an organized movement in order to exactly. dislodge this, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, she wasn't just some random woman trying to ride the bus and she put her foot down. She was part of the NAACP, and it was a campaign.
And a great campaign, and we're happy it happened, but it yes. wasn't the act of
one woman.
Right, yes. Okay, let's talk turkey here. Legit prediction. Will Oprah Winfrey, in any meaningful way, take steps to run for president? Will she start an exploratory committee? Will she start raising money? And for her, that just means accepting checks. I'm sure the line's out the door already to give her some. What do you think, Sarah?
You know, I'm not sure I'm going to fall for this again, because you set me up every time on these kind of questions, and then you're like, okay, we're done. See ya.
No, we've got plenty of time. We're not even halfway through. So you tell me.
If I was a billionaire many times over, mm-hmm. as she is, and had a lot of irons in the fire, as she does, I would sit back and see who the next candidate du jour that the liberals lose their minds over, mm-hmm. because there will be another one next month.
Yeah.
I would sit back and watch, and I would, if it was me, I would use my money for more constructive things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she can write.
Do you think that
fund her own campaign just like, you know, the Donald did?
Do you have a sense? Degree. You said she has many irons in the fire. Do you have a sense of her? It's just, does she still run that magazine? I don't really know after her TV show ended. I don't know what Oprah does in terms of, like, I know that when she was, and I just want to say this for the record, I know that Oprah Winfrey is certainly not afraid of hard work. So I'm later on going to say I don't think that she's going to be up for the work for running for president, but that's not because I think that she's not a hard worker. But I imagine that since she left her TV show, how many hours a week is she really reading reports and on conference calls all day long and all that kind of junk that a president, you know, or a president-to-be has to attend to?
Well, she, her show was not her empire. Her empire was the Dr. Oz, the creation of Dr. Phil.
The spinoffs.
Creating her own cable network, OWN TV, O-W-N.
The magazine?
There are, and the magazine, those are things she's the Weight Watcher queen, so that could be kind of fun if she does run.
Is she a spokesperson for that organization?
She is a spokesperson for Weight Watchers.
Okay.
Freestyle, which is the latest.
Oh, so you have to keep it new and fresh, for sure.
Yeah. I think she, you know, as any other media mogul, I don't believe she is a complete 10-hour, 12-hour day work, hands-on woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is smart enough to line her businesses with people whose interests align with hers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that...
I don't...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to ask, I recall some stories from her earlier days of her her television production, and I recall reading a number of stories about her management style. And Oprah had certainly an admirable management style. She was a hands-on type of person. They said that, for instance, there wasn't a single check written for the organization that she didn't sign. You know, she was very actively involved, and much right. of that success is due to her her sort of manifesting it. But I also recall stories about how Oprah Winfrey used racial discrimination in her hiring practices and would discriminate against whites in favor of hiring blacks. Do you think that could come back, or are we so now anti-white that that doesn't even matter? You can openly discriminate against whites and you're cool.
Oh heck, I think if you're a liberal, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I will admit, when I was fresh out of college in Arizona, Oprah came to give a talk at some local theater, and she was just now launching her national show from her Chicago local show to the national one. And her story is amazing and wonderful. And she all about empowering everyone.
She's an American original.
Empowering black people or just women.
Right.
It was empowering those who had something to share with the world. And I have admired her in that respect for years. But as we continue on, it seems like the waters are becoming murkier. And instead of those wonderful ideals that I was so behind, we're dealing with, well, I can be friends with Harvey Weinstein, but, you know, I'm going to say, well, I'm disturbed what he did. You know, can't have it both ways. You can't be there, be in the middle of it, know the stories, hear the stories, and do nothing, and then, you know, make some veiled reference of the Me Too movement and your truth, speaking your truth.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
The your truth thing is, wow. The other thing that she did, for those who haven't yet listened, is she basically congratulated, again, this is the Golden Globes Award ceremony. She congratulated everybody in the room for their own place in history, for this, like they're all heroes with the Me Too movement. Instead of, most of the people in that room are, well, actually probably most of them are sort of third-party non-participants, but to the extent that there are party participants in the room, they're either people who've done it in terms of been perpetrators or made a deal with the devil. And Oprah actually said, she talked about people who kind of have to submit to untoward advances to like feed their families and also achieve their dreams. And I just thought it was kind of breathtaking that...
Well, that would be called prostitution.
Well, here's the thing, right? If a woman sells her body in order to feed her kids, it's an act of prostitution, but we don't think of her like... lives are full of hard realities, and I don't denigrate a woman who does what she needs to do to feed her family. There's no judgment there. But if you want your movie produced, if you are Salma Hayek and you want the story of Frida Kahlo told through your own eyes and decide to take your clothes off and sleep with Harvey Weinstein because of it, this is not a feeding your family kind of a situation, right? You are a prostitute and you've made a deal, which...
You made a deal with the devil.
Right. And I just don't understand how that makes you anything other than... just a person who decided to make a deal and sell your own flesh for it. And if that's a deal you're comfortable with, then I'm comfortable with you making it. But I'm not comfortable with you then becoming a heroic victim for making it. I don't understand that part of it. And Oprah seems to be quite comfortable with that part of it.
She's very comfortable with it. And if I don't watch award shows, so I'm piecing this together, you know, day after I was piecing it together and looking through transcripts and videos on YouTube and whatnot. And the people in the audience that she was preaching to are being drugged into this reality kicking and screaming. They didn't want any of this to ever be known. Mm-hmm. They don't want to admit that they sleep with the boss right. to get ahead. They don't want it to be known. So they've had to put their own spin.
By the way, Harvey's story. Book is going to be quite interesting when he names the actresses who said yes to his proposals without complaining, right? That's part of this yeah. thing that hasn't started yet. There are plenty of people who decided for themselves that it was a price worth paying for fame and fortune.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to come out. Things don't fit anymore. And this is a huge movement. And I guarantee you 2 years from now, there'll be a whole different movement and nobody will remember it.
Mm.
But she had the audacity to embrace that crowd, the biggest perpetrators of the casting couch ever. I mean, I know it happens, in, you know, from the track coach in a local high school all the way up to, you know, Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But, you know...
But she's friends with Harvey,
making
though.
Making this such a big deal is ridiculous.
Right, and she was friends with Harvey.
And I think...
Or friendly. Okay. We have photographic depictions of them being quite friendly together in ways that you would...
Yeah, when she's sucking on his ear, that's just weird. That is weird. And another, you know, the poor guy, the soft rock god Seal.
Yes.
You know, came out and just blasted her. Like, yeah, you've known about this for years, and now you guys are going to own it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. So, you know, I'm glad people are coming forward. And if people have been mistreated and abused, I don't think it's the Gwyneth Paltrows of the world. I think it's the people we've never heard of, because they didn't say, oh, yeah, Harvey, I'll do you for that part. We'll never hear about them because they didn't make it.
Right.
The people that did make it sold their soul to some degree to, you know, the Weinstein Satan.
Here's a question for
you. And they can live with that. You know, if they can sleep with that, more power to you.
Well, right, yeah. The problem I have, and certainly legally, ethically, and as a libertarian, that's a fair trade. I think if both parties to the trade are comfortable with it, then it's not for me to decide. What should and shouldn't be traded. That's
exactly.
a private matter. But when buyer's remorse comes in, we can't enforce buyer's remorse as if it were a physical assault, because it's not. It's buyer's remorse. Oh boy, there was so much there that Oprah. So there's another thing for people who aren't aware, that this award show, the Golden Globes, is given by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And they're people who write about movies, okay? They're the people who are taking a million pictures of Sylvester Stallone when he's standing on the side of the thing and the paparazzis and all that. Well, Oprah decided to talk about how valued and treasured the press was. And I thought it was so precious, of course, because... the press was completely absent during the Obama administration, and the Hollywood Foreign Press is notoriously corrupt. They're just about basically you get them some movie tickets and they'll write whatever you want. And the
exactly.
idea that it's somehow, you know, she's literally standing among a group of people who, for decades and really their whole lives, generationally, were able to keep these secrets and perpetuate them. And not one article was printed by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association about Harvey Weinstein and what a predator he was, or any of these other main predator people that we're hearing about. Yet somehow they are heroic,
yeah.
And she's lifting up the Clintons perpetually. I don't know. It just seems so delusional. And the other thing is, where does this impetus come from where we have, if you are a leftist, and I'll speak from that perspective, I think from a perspective I see from, for instance, a lot of Facebook friends that are of this stripe, they're outraged that an unserious television candidate became president of the United States when the serious policy person who has a lifetime of experience in policy and politics, was denied the position. And so for that, you're going to then go to a person who thinks that Deepak Chopra has profound answers for how human beings should be alive and has a, you know, she, look, there's no debating that she's perhaps the best communicator, you know, we have in terms of our, this, that medium, that television medium. But why go to another non-serious policy or politics person?
Exactly. Yeah, she's the, you know, the negative version of Donald Trump.
All right. Well, I want to give my I want to give my prediction. Okay, my prediction is that she will not seriously run, and the reason why she won't seriously run is because of all the trouble that it is to run for office, starting with the financial disclosures. That's something that she's not going to want to put out there, I believe, and all the work that needs to be done. You know, even somebody who is as famous as Oprah still has to do some of that sort of ground level politicking. And I just think that if you're used to living in a place where you're surrounded by the most beautiful and I don't mean expensive in the sense of just that they cost money, but the finest of goods, the finest of everything. I don't get the sense that Ms. Winfrey denies herself, you know, the comforts of she's not like a Warren Buffett type who, like, you know, was a billionaire flying coach. You know, she has her right. Gulfstream jets and whatever. And I just don't get the sense that, you know, Trump, they say, you know, is happy with from time to time having a Big Mac and talking to the construction workers. Ms. Winfrey, I don't get the sense that that's the case with her. Although I am buoyed by the fact that her up close and personal view of the Obama administration seems to have led her to believe, you know, I can do that.
Right. Right. Or, you know, her buddies, Bill and Hill. Ugh. You know, gosh, they can be RICO candidates. You know, heck, I don't have any problems with RICO. I think I could run.
And by the way, that's another reason why she may wish to not run, which is to say that we've now gone into this almost third world level. When the new party in power investigates criminally and tries to punish the party who was in power, and she would be subject to that as well upon leaving office.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, she just has, you know, her and Stedman and Gale and whoever else is there. You know, it seems like she could do a lot to effectuate change in policy and not have to be president of the United States. But
I completely agree. And I think let's run Oprah luster is starting to dim a little bit. I spent some time with my cousin today, and she had on MSNBC for like 3 hours.
My condolences.
And nobody spoke about Oprah. The big talk was, why does Trump still want to pick on Hillary Clinton? Why? And I'm sitting there listening to this going, well, because maybe that's all you want to talk about. I listened to you for 3 hours now, and nobody said anything that didn't have Trump in the sentence. So, you know, you're going to keep the message out there. The media message is still the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm. The other thing,
we haven't moved forward whatsoever.
The other thing, I just want to mention it because I thought it was so ridiculous. And I think maybe this is about her own background or perhaps age or whatever, but she talked about how she remembered seeing Sidney Poitier receive the Cecil B. DeMille Award bestowed by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association in the 1960s, I think, as a little girl, and what that meant to her.
A black man wearing a white tie.
Right, an elegant black man. And how...
It was good symbolism.
And certainly, you know, obviously, Sidney Poitier, definitely an elegant black man, is the same, though. She talked about, though, a little girl in 2018 in America looking at her and seeing the same thing and being kind of... charged by that or energized by that. And I thought, for all of Oprah Winfrey's accomplishments, she's a woman who was a abused child crackhead or crack user who pulled herself up literally by her bootstraps to become the most famous, richest woman in the world. And she thinks she's going to be defined by winning some stupid award given by some hack press association. I just thought it was kind of sad that this woman who has achieved such levels of greatness on her own regard, you know, I don't know. I thought, really? That's where you
that
are?
That seems like a step backward.
Yeah, a giant step backward. And who, are black girls watching the, are 7-year-old black girls on the floor of the, you know, on the carpet watching the Golden Globe Awards as it's broadcast live in 2018? I don't think so.
Did anybody watch the Golden Globe Awards? I mean, well, we don't even know who watched it. At least we had the audience there.
Maybe Harvey from Scottsdale. Okay. Well, let me add.
After he took the raw steak off of his eye from getting whacked at Sanctuary.
Did you watch? Did you see the video of that? Did you see the video?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I hadn't either.
I've
I was wondering.
To the Sanctuary at Camelback Resort, and man, that would have been making my day if I'd been sitting there watching that.
I was wondering if the guy actually connected or not. I haven't. I have yet to look for the video myself, but I will. Well, I want to add one more prediction, and then I will ask you if you want to give one as well. My prediction, though, is if I'm wrong with the first one and she does actually run, I believe she'll win because of the army of white women voters who were of a certain age who are turned off by Hillary's, all of the many negatives for Hillary that will embrace an Oprah candidacy. So that's it.
Okay.
You want to weigh in?
I disagree with you on that. I agree with you that I don't believe she will run because she has too much at stake. And really, who'd want to give up that lifestyle? I wouldn't do it. I'd rather write a check and formulate public policy from a distance. Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say, as an exit question, Sarah Cowgill, running mate, as an exit question, preferred running mate, Stedman or Gale?
Neither.
There you have it from the heartland. This has been the Uprising Podcast. Sarah, thank you for joining me. Check us out again next week. LibertyNation.com. Bye.
Bye.
LibertyNation.com. They are the resistance, but we are the uprising with Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into Korea.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.